speaking on this program is Gary Cawley.
Jesus said, I am the vine, the true vine. He indicated there's some false vines around, but he's the true vine. And he said, his Father is a husbandman. And every branch in me that beareth fruit, he purchaseth, that it may bring forth more fruit. But every branch that bringeth not fruit, he taketh it away. And so we want to be sure that we're branches in that vine, the Lord, that bear fruit for his cause and for his kingdom. In John 14:6, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man can come unto the Father but by me. So if we're in the way that leads to life, we're in Christ. And we're in the blood of Christ, by which we can be saved. What a privilege and a pleasure, then, it is for us to have this opportunity to serve the great and gracious God of heaven, who loved us and made the way for us. Indeed, in Matthew 25, we find some very interesting thoughts. When Jesus said, then cometh the end, or the kingdom of heaven then shall be likened unto 10 virgins, who took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 were foolish and 5 were wise. For the foolish, when they took their lamps, took no oil in their lamps with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. Now while the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at about midnight there is the cry, behold, the bridegroom, come ye forth to meet him. Then all of those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are going out. But the wise answered, saying, peradventure, there be not enough for us and you. Go ye rather to them that sell, and buy for yourselves. And while they went away to buy, the bridegroom came. And they that were ready went in with him to the marriage feast. And afterwards the door was shut. Afterwards also came the other virgin, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for you know not the day nor the hour. And that last verse gives us the great lesson of this parable. Watch, for you know not the day nor the hour when the Son of Man cometh, and the end of time shall be. How wonderful it is to see these verses in their closeness because of what they teach us about the judgment. Many people don't believe the judgment day is coming. If they do, they don't believe it'll be for themselves. They believe that everybody else perhaps dies, but they never die. Our young people sometimes think that they're the only generation that has ever lived, but that's not the truth. And we must realize that the young die too, and that none of us have the assurance of another day. That we must at all times be prepared then is what the Bible teaches us. It doesn't say be ready to get ready. It says be ready when the Lord shall come. Indeed, we find here our Lord as he, in Matthew 21, cleanses the temple. He said, my Father's house is to be a house of prayer, but you've made it a den of thieves. And so he cast out the money changers and those who were making extortion there. And then we come to Matthew 23, and one of the most scathing sermons that has ever been preached is brought before the minds as he talks to the Pharisees and their hypocrisy. He says, woe unto you Pharisees, hypocrites! And as he brings these thoughts upon them, you can see the wrath of God as it is predicted for them. He weeps over the city of Jerusalem. He didn't desire anyone to be lost. Neither if we would desire anyone to be lost tonight. But he said, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, in verse 37, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thee together as a hen gathered her chickens under her wing, but ye would not. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate, and ye shall see my face no more, till ye shall say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Have you ever seen an old hen? That's a farming illustration, isn't it? If it rains and there are puddles of water, the little chicks can get into the puddles of water and there they can drown very easily. The old mother hen will sit and spread her wings and she'll cluck and call for those little chicks to come. If those little chicks sit within a foot of her and do not get under her wings, they'll drown right there. If they'll get under the wing of protection, they shall live. But she will not go after them. She invites them to come to the protection and the care of her wings. And so the Lord uses that country illustration to illustrate to us that he wants all men to come unto him. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how often would I have gathered thee together as a hen gathereth her chicks under her wings, but ye would not. You refused it. You would not come. In John 5, 39 and 40, we noted last night, ye search the Scriptures because in them ye think ye have eternal life. And these are they that bear witness of me, but ye will not come to me, that ye may have life. If you refuse to come to the Lord, then you shall be among those who are not saved, but rather lost. In Matthew 24, our Lord answers three questions which His disciples ask. Those three questions in verse 3, when shall you overthrow the temple? Number 2, what shall be the sign of thy coming to do that? And number 3, what shall be the end of the world? And in all of these things, the Lord answers His disciples. He showed them the blocks of that temple, which were 70 by 10 by 8, if you can imagine such massive blocks, 70 feet long, 10 feet wide, and 8 feet deep, and yet the Lord says not one of those shall be left upon another in the destruction of Jerusalem. Matthew 24 deals with the first two questions. When shall the destruction of Jerusalem come? What shall be the sign? He says there will be wars and rumors of wars, and that men shall want to say, I am the Christ, and deceive many. But He said, don't listen to them. Yet when you see the eagles surrounding the city of Jerusalem, which was Titus and his armies, with the eagles on their helmets, you flee unto the mountains. Do not take anything from your house. Do not stop for any reason. Go as fast as you can. Josephus, a heathen historian, says that there was not one Christian that was hurt in the siege on Jerusalem, but the blood flowed like water down the streets of Jerusalem. Titus and his army surrounded that city and cut off all ingoing food. And when all the food was gone, they became so hungry. History says that they ate their own children. It was a horrible thing. It was a terrible thing. And yet, they had brought it upon themselves. Now, when Jesus wept over them, He knew what was coming. He knew their destruction. But we find that they would not listen. Even as it was in the days of Noah, He said, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of God. They'll be eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage, and they won't know what has happened until it's all over. Well, didn't Noah warn the people about the flood? Oh, yes. He preached 120 years. Only 8 souls listened to Him. Only 8 souls entered into the ark. And you can imagine the taunting that must have come to Noah and his family. Why, to one of the daughters or in law might have been said, well, you know, your old fellow there, your dad-in-law, he's gone crazy. He's building a big old boat and we've never seen any rain around here even, much less a flood. And what do you think it means when He says that just He and his little group are all that's going to be saved in the flood? Don't you think if we have another boat it'll be just as good? And don't you think that we can think on our own? What are you trying to say? That we have to do what God says in order to be saved? You can just hear it on and on. And it hasn't quit, has it? Because we warn people of the judgment. We warn them of the coming of the Son of God. To enter into the fold of safety while there's opportunity. Come into the ark of the covenant with the Lord. And be saved from the wrath which is going to be rendered upon the unjust and the wicked. But many people seem to think that we're just jesting. They think surely the Lord's not going to destroy this old earth and all the works that are therein with fire. But it is the promise of God, and we need to see these things in all clarity. When men become serious about God's Word, then they will be honest enough to obey His will and to walk in harmony with it. But the last question, when or what shall be at the end of the world, is answered here in Matthew 25. He said then. Then when? Then at the end, then shall the kingdom of heaven, the church, the bride of Christ, then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins who took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. The bridegroom is Jesus. He is the one who is the bridegroom. The church is the bride. And when He comes back for His church, He's going to take her into the blessings of the eternal city where we shall feast at the tree of life forever and forever. How important, then, this all is to us, and our question tonight of do you have enough, is drawn from the parable in Matthew 25, verses 1 through 13. These 10 virgins and the Jewish feast must come before our minds first. The Jewish marriage was on this wise. The husband-to-be left at his house several virgins that were to wait for him until he went to get his bride and brought her back. He then went to the house of the father-in-law. There he received his bride, and they began the celebration as they come back. And the virgins with their lamps all trimmed come forth to meet him. And then they go into the house, and there the marriage feast is celebrated. Now that's the idea that is put before us here. And as we think about the bridegroom, Jesus Christ, coming back for his bride to eternally take her home, we think of one of the most graphic, one of the most searching lessons that the Lord ever presented. He presented here a lesson that was the last of his sermons before he went to the cross. Did you know that? That makes it even more impressive to me. What would you preach if you knew if this was the last sermon you'd ever be able to preach? Even more sobering than that, what would you do if you knew tonight was the last sermon you'd ever hear? And that no more you'd have the opportunity to obey the gospel of Christ. I believe you would be serious about the matter, even as we ought to be, about these things. But this parable represents church members. Did you get that? He said, then shall the kingdom of heaven be like another 10 virgins. Some people have made the mistaken idea that 5 of these represented the church and 5 represented the world. No, my friend, the world and the unconverted and those who are apostates are not mentioned here at all. He didn't say the kingdom of heaven is likened unto 5 virgins. He said the kingdom of heaven is likened unto 10 virgins. But he reminds us there are 2 classes in the church. There are 2 classes in the kingdom. There are wise virgins and there are foolish virgins. There are those who are faithful servants of the Lord, even who have come into Christ, and those who are not serving faithfully. And they are represented here by the wise and the foolish virgins in verse 1. Then we notice that their entering is determined by their preparation, isn't it? That whether or not they're able to enter into the house at the marriage feast is determined by whether or not they are prepared. We don't know when Christ shall come. In fact, here in Matthew 24:36-39, he says, you'll need to always be ready, for no man knoweth the time of his coming, neither the angels nor the Son, but it is in the counsels of the Father. Well, now, you know when my mother and daddy used to leave home and they'd say, we'd be back in an hour. Why, we could just have a lot of fun for that hour. We didn't worry too much because we knew when they were coming back. And then we could get everything cleaned up before they made it. But if they said, we don't know when we'll be back, you can bet your life we were ready at all moments for them to return. We didn't have near the time that we had when we knew when they were coming home. Well, you know, that's the way with us. Be ready. One time a man asked a Christian, what would you do if you knew tonight you were going to die? He said the same thing I would have done anyway. Because I am a Christian, I would not change the way I live in order to prepare to die. No, I wouldn't either. I want to always be ready. I want to always do that which the Lord would have me to do. But I need to know whether or not I am ready and whether or not I have done as I should. Having lamps here, number one, needs to be explained. If you have your lamp, that means you're a Christian. A man who doesn't have a lamp, there's no need in talking about oil, is there? Because if he doesn't have any lamp, he doesn't have any light. On the other hand, after you have the lamp, to have the oil within that lamp is to develop in your life a Christ-like character. Now, if you don't develop the Christ-like character after having the lamp, you'll be like these foolish virgins. Oh, they had a lamp. They just didn't have enough oil to keep that light burning bright. And is not the oil here representative of the righteous character of a child of God? Do you know that I can't have enough righteousness to give any of it to you? And that though you may be a faithful, faithful servant of God, still having done all that we must do, we still are unprofitable servants. You do not have enough righteousness, though you may be a 5-talent man, and one who uses your talents wisely. You cannot share your righteousness with your wife. You cannot share your righteousness with your husband. You cannot share it with the one you love dearest and best in all the world. Because righteousness is a personal thing. He that doeth righteousness, John said, is righteous. In the gospel is revealed the righteous scheme or plan of God. When we walk in harmony with God's will, then, we not only have the lamp by becoming a Christian, But we have the oil by being the Christ-like character of our lives. And we must remember the Lord is coming again. And in Acts 1, we find the promise. As they were hearing the Lord speak, all of a sudden he began to ascend, and it says the clouds took him out of their sight. Two men stood by the apostles in white apparel, and they said unto them, Ye men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing into heaven? This same Jesus, whom you have seen going away, shall also come in like manner as you saw him going away. 1 Thessalonians 4, then, Paul said, I would not have you ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and that he rose again, even so them which are in Jesus shall God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that the Lord will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall go to meet them in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. The Lord is coming again. He will come with a cloud. Revelation 1:7 says, Every eye shall see him, and those that have pierced him shall mourn over him. Indeed, he is coming again. But the crucial point of this lesson is that if you don't have enough oil, you're not going to be prepared when the Lord comes. And so we need to look at that critical, crucial point and find out whether or not we do or not have enough oil. Remember, to have that lamp, you have to enter in first and become a Christian. But entering in by faith, repentance, confession, and baptism does not ensure that you're going to heaven unless you die at that very moment. Because though we are baptized into Christ, we are not baptized into heaven. Have you ever gotten that point? I think a lot of people think they're baptized into heaven. No, we're not baptized into heaven. We're baptized into Christ. And then after having the lamp, we have to develop in our lives that Christ-likeness that goes with the name Christian. In Matthew 13, verse 41 through 42 and 3, The Son of Man, he said, shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that cause stumbling and that do iniquity, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. What is it is being cleansed here? The kingdom. The kingdom is the church, and the church is the kingdom. Now the angels are going to come and take out of the church all those that cause stumbling and them that do iniquity. If you come into Christ then, but then you devote your life to sin, you're not going to be prepared when the Lord comes. All 10 of these in this parable represent Christians. Let me remind you, there were 5 wise Christians and 5 foolish Christians. The foolish here are those who are indolent. They're indifferent. They're not really doing the work of the Lord. They're just there. And they really don't have the interest, they do not have the desire, and they believe that they can go to heaven by just casting the crumbs to the Lord's work. My friends, let me assure you that this parable teaches differently. You see, the Bible emphatically declares that heaven is a prepared place for a prepared people. In John 14:1, Jesus said, Let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. Watch this now. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I shall return again to receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Now that's just previous to the Lord saying, I am the way, the truth, the life, and no man can come unto the Father but by me. But you can see he is preparing a place for a prepared people. In Matthew 24:44, Therefore be ye also ready, he says, for in an hour that you think not, the Son of Man cometh. How foolish for us to hear people set times for the Lord to come. They don't know when he's coming. I don't know when he is coming. We sometimes sing a premillennial song that said, He's coming soon. We don't know that. We don't know when he's coming. We have no idea. If we did, we could prepare for that time. But not knowing when the Lord comes, we need to always be ready. In Matthew 25:34, he said he'll say when he comes, Then shall the king say unto those on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Now the oil, remember, is preparation. It's development of that Christ-like character. And wise and foolish here in these verses simply refer to how they used that oil and the regard which they had for it. Those foolish virgins failed to carry any extra oil. They failed because of what they did not do. They did not keep up righteous living. They did not continue to do the things the Lord wanted done. I remember a child one time who went to her teacher and said, "Teacher, you wouldn't spank me for something I didn't do, would you?" And the teacher said, "Why, no, I wouldn't do that." He said, "All right, I didn't get my homework." Well, you see, the fact is, there is some things that are necessary to be done, and if we don't do them, they're going to bring punishment upon us. Now, in this, we find these foolish virgins did not prepare for the coming. They did not have enough oil. So, they're not charged with committing dancing here. They're not charged with committing drunkenness or idolatry or uncleanliness here. No, it's not that at all. But they're lost, aren't they? Oh, yes. Because they didn't prepare. Because they didn't have the oil in their lamps. Somebody called these harmless Christians. Well, I guess they are just harmless Christians. They think if they don't do anything wrong, they're going to be all right. But listen, friend, there's more than just not doing something that's wrong. We have to do that which is right. How long would you keep a servant around your house that was supposed to take care of the house as long as you didn't knock any of the bedposts off? He never did break a single window in the house. He never did break a dish. But you know he never did do anything else. Well, you wouldn't pay that man, would you, or that woman? You'd say, "Well, that's not what I hired them to do." All right, here we find the Lord portraying Christians at the end of time who spent their time in idleness, seeking only financial gain, seeking only the pleasures of the world, seeking only the sensual gratifications, and they are not ready because they have done nothing. They have borne no fruit. They have not prepared themselves, nor do they have oil in their lamps. And all the consternation, when at midnight they were all slumbering and sleeping, and behold, the cry came, "The bridegroom is here." And when they arose to trim those wicks on those lamps in those shallow vessels, why, there wasn't any oil in the foolish virgins. And though they trimmed them, it didn't brighten them at all, as it was supposed to do. They were not ready. So the vital question for us to consider tonight is, do you have enough? Do we have what we must have in order to be ready when the Lord returns? You know, when the Lord comes, He's going to say, "Is there any faith left upon the earth?" Do we have enough faith, my friends, to move us to action? To put the Lord's kingdom first in our lives? To meet the budget? To take care of the financial needs of the church? Do we have enough faith to do that? When the Lord says, "If you give cheerfully, I love a cheerful giver. And when you give bountifully, you'll reap bountifully. And when you sow sparingly, you're going to reap sparingly." But we say, "Well, I don't know whether the Lord will do that or not." You don't have any faith in what He says then. Do you believe the Lord really makes His promises true? I do. I certainly believe every word the Lord has said. I may not know what every word in this book means, but I believe every word that is there from one cover to the next. But I wonder if we have enough faith. Do you have enough faith, my friends, to say, "Speak, Lord, Thy servant heareth"? We need enough faith to move us to action to do His will in all things. Next of all, do we have enough love? In Matthew 22, when the lawyer came tempting the Lord, he said, "What is the great commandment in the law?" And the Lord answered with a commandment that would cover all the commandments. He said, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind." In other words, we are to love the Lord our God with all of our affections, with all of our will, with all of our intellect. Do we love Him that much? The Lord loved the church, Ephesians 5:25 says, enough to give Himself for it. "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church, and He gave Himself up for it."